Imagine this for a second. You're rushing to finish a really crucial presentation. Maybe your child's trying to get their online homework done, or you're just checking your bank balance online, and boom, everything just grinds to a halt.
Right.
Not, you know, power outage, but a digital one. Suddenly your data feels locked, your privacy violated, maybe your whole company's operation is frozen by some cyber attack.
It sounds dramatic, but it's happening constantly. It's not hypothetical at all anymore, is it?
Not even close.
Yeah.
These cyber threats are everywhere. They're evolving like crazy, faster than most people realize, and they demand this constant vigilant defense. It's not science fiction. It's just the, frankly, uncomfortable reality we're all navigating every single day.
Absolutely.
And that's precisely why understanding the companies that are, you know, on the front lines of this relentless digital battle is more crucial than ever for everyone. Welcome to The Deep Dive. We're the podcast that tries to cut through all the noise and get you informed fast. Today, we're taking a deep dive into one of the real heavyweights in cybersecurity, Fortinet, Inc. Their ticker symbol is FTNT.
Yeah, a big one.
And our mission for this deep dive is pretty straightforward. We want to unpack a really comprehensive investment analysis of Fortinet. We'll dig into their remarkable past, look at their current strategic shifts, which are quite significant, and explore their ambitious future as they navigate this really fiercely competitive and constantly changing landscape.
And it is constantly changing.
Oh, definitely. Now, this isn't about us telling you what to do with your money or exactly what to think. It's about giving you the insights, those aha moments, hopefully, drawn from the latest data so you can understand the full picture and, you know, draw your own informed conclusions.
Exactly. And to do that, we're drawing from a really solid set of sources. We've got a detailed report that pulls together recent financial data, some sharp industry insights, and strategic documents straight from the company itself.
So a good mix.
A very good mix. It gives us this robust foundation to explore this fascinating company from multiple angles, hopefully providing you with a truly well-rounded perspective. It's like trying to see the whole chessboard, right? Not just a few pieces.
And sometimes it feels like the board itself is moving under the pieces.
That's a good way to put it, yeah.
Okay, let's unpack this then. Starting with the company at a glance. Fortinet is, well, a global powerhouse in cybersecurity. They're particularly dominant, maybe surprisingly to some, in network firewalls, specifically by unit volume.
Yeah, the sheer number of boxes they ship is enormous.
Think of them as kind of a foundational security layer for countless organizations all over the world, from tiny businesses right up to huge enterprises.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a highly profitable company, founder-led, which we'll definitely get into more detail on.
Yeah.
But what's really defining Fortinet right now, it seems, is this significant strategic shift they're undergoing.
Yes.
What does that shift really entail? Is it like a fundamental turn or more of an evolution building on what they already do?
I'd say it's definitely an evolution, but it's a profound one. Make no mistake. Fortinet is moving quite aggressively, actually, from its hardware-centric origins, where they were primarily known for their physical FortiGate firewall appliances.
Right, the boxes.
The boxes, exactly. They're moving towards being a comprehensive, integrated platform provider. So they're broadening their scope significantly, not just tweaking the existing business model.
Okay, so moving beyond just selling hardware boxes to really trying to be that holistic security partner for businesses.
Yeah.
And I know they're placing some pretty big bets on specific high growth areas, aren't they?
Precisely. The key growth areas they're really zeroing in on are, first, Unified Secure Access Service Edge. That's SASE, S-A-S-E.
We hear that acronym a lot.
You do, and for good reason. And second, security operations, which the industry usually calls SecOps. Now, these aren't just, you know, the latest industry buzzwords. They represent the real convergence of networking and security, especially delivered from the cloud, and also the automation of threat detection and response.
Okay.
These two areas, SASE and SecOps, are absolutely central to Fortinet's future growth story. This is really where they expect to see substantial expansion in the coming years. It's their next act, essentially.
And looking at it from a financial angle, Fortinet has some genuinely impressive strengths. Their operating margins are industry-leading, which is, frankly, quite rare for a company of their size and still growing at their pace.
It really stands out.
They also generate substantial, very consistent cash flow, and they maintain this really robust balance sheet with a strong net cash position.
Mm.
Lots of cash, not much debt.
Mm-hmm.
These are all pretty clear signs of a very well-managed, financially sound company.
It gives them a lot of flexibility, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. Mm-hmm. Financial flexibility is key in this market. However, there is a bit of a red flag that we as observers really need to talk about.
Okay.
And that's the recent, quite notable deceleration in their product revenue growth, the hardware side.
The boxes again. Yeah.
Now, for us analyzing the company, this isn't just a blip on a chart. It's potentially an early warning signal. Think of it like maybe the first signs of a cold, right?
Mm-hmm.
A slight cough today could mean something more serious tomorrow.
Okay, explain that, Link. Why is slower hardware sales potentially worrying long term? Because if new hardware, new FortiGate appliances, aren't being adopted at the rate they once were, that long-term, high-margin service revenue pipeline, which is really Fortinet's bread and butter for stability and profitability, that could start to constrict a few quarters down the line.
Got it. Fewer new boxes means fewer opportunities to attach those profitable service contracts later on.
Exactly. Most of their service revenue comes from contracts attached to hardware they've already sold. So a slowdown in product sales today fundamentally challenges that assumption of perpetual, predictable, recurring revenue growth tomorrow. It's something investors really need to watch closely.
And that dynamic, that pressure, plays out in what you described as a fiercely competitive arena. Fortinet is up against networking giants like Cisco, who have huge reach, and other really formidable platform rivals like Palo Alto Networks.
Now, PAN-W is a big one.
The market is dynamic, incredibly innovative, and there's this constant battle, almost like an arms race, for market share and technological leadership.
It truly is an arms race. But despite that intense competition, Fortinet's core value proposition remains incredibly strong, and it's quite distinct. Their strength really lies in delivering superior performance per dollar.
Okay, how do they do that?
Well, it's powered primarily by two things. Their proprietary application-specific integrated circuit technology, we call them ASICs, and their integrated security fabric platform architecture.
Okay, break down ASICs for us. Why are they a big deal?
Think of ASICs as custom-built, specialized computer chips, like a custom engine designed for a race car. They're designed to do one thing incredibly well: process security and networking data at lightning speed.
So not general-purpose chips like many competitors use.
Exactly. Unlike competitors who often rely on more general-purpose CPUs from companies like Intel, Fortinet's ASICs allow them to deliver incredibly high performance and throughput, meaning faster security checks for things like firewalls and VPNs, often at a more competitive price point, and importantly, with better energy efficiency.
And for a customer, that translates directly into what? Faster network speeds, lower power bill.
Both, potentially. Faster network speeds because the security processing doesn't become a bottleneck, and lower operational costs due to the price and energy efficiency. It's a really distinct engineering approach that sets them apart, particularly in certain market segments.
And their market position is also bolstered by a truly massive customer base. You mentioned the unit volume. They have over 800,000 customers worldwide.
It's staggering, isn't it?
It really is. But like any investment, there are primary risks for Fortinet that people need to be aware of. These include that intense competition we just talked about, the inherent execution risk of pulling off this ambitious strategic pivot towards SaaS and CCOPS.
Pivots are never easy.
No. There's also the potential for further deceleration in their core firewall business if that hardware refresh cycle doesn't quite play out as they hope. And, as you mentioned, their reliance on that founding leadership. These are all critical factors for you, the listener, to keep in mind as we go deeper. Okay, we've seen Fortinet's current position and their strategic direction, but to really understand where they're going, I think we need to look at where they came from. Their origins actually reveal a foundational vision that was, well, quite ahead of its time.
It really was. Fortinet was founded way back in 2000 by two brothers, Ken Xie, who is the chairman and CEO, and Michael Xie, who serves as president and chief technology officer.
And this wasn't their first rodeo on cybersecurity, right?
Not at all. Ken Xie had significant prior success. He was a co-founder of NetScreen Technologies, another security company, which was later acquired by Juniper Networks for a substantial sum. So they came into Fortinet with a proven track record of building and exiting successful cybersecurity ventures. They knew the space.
And what was that foundational vision they had back in 2000?
It was genuinely pioneering for that era. Back then, most security was point solutions, a firewall here, an antivirus there. Their vision was to address the increasingly complex nature of cyber threats by creating an integrated, multifaceted security platform.
So combining different functions together from the start.
Exactly. This concept of consolidating various security functions into a single cohesive system was pretty radical at the time. It really anticipated this platformization trend that is now sweeping across the entire cybersecurity industry, but they were thinking about it almost two decades before it became a mainstream imperative. That foresight allowed them to build a unique architectural advantage right from the ground up, rather than trying to bolt things together later.
And their long-standing leadership, the C brothers still being there, provides consistent vision, which is certainly a benefit in many ways. But as we touched on earlier, it also represents a potential key person risk, doesn't it?
It does. The company's trajectory, its unique engineering-driven culture, it's all very closely tied to the continued services and vision of its founding executives, Ken and Michael. Their deep technical expertise and strategic foresight have been absolutely instrumental. Their potential absence down the road could create a significant void. It's something investors have to factor in.
Okay, let's talk about the central pillar of their strategy today, which you mentioned earlier, the Fortinet Security Fabric. What exactly is that?
The Security Fabric, which they formally launched back in 2016, is really the embodiment of that original integrated vision. It's designed to be broad, covering many security domains, deeply integrated, meaning the parts work together seamlessly, and highly automated, reducing manual effort.
So the core idea is?
The core idea is to allow their diverse portfolio of security products, everything from their flagship FortiGate firewalls to endpoint protection, cloud security, and more, to operate not as standalone silos, but as a single cohesive system, like a true fabric woven together.
And the benefit for the customer?
The aim is to reduce operational complexity, fewer consoles to manage simpler policies. It's also meant to significantly improve visibility across their entire digital attack surface because the different parts are sharing information, and ultimately to enable a more automated, coordinated response to threats. It's about fighting sophisticated, coordinated attacks with a sophisticated, coordinated defense system.
And you mentioned a critical differentiator within that security fabric, FortiOS. Tell us more about that.
Yes, FortiOS. This is huge. It's a single unified operating system that serves as the foundational software for Fortinet's entire product portfolio.
The entire portfolio, not just the firewalls.
The entire portfolio. This isn't just a nice-to-have feature. It's a massive architectural advantage. Think about it like this. Many competitors building a broad security suite might have different operating systems or software bases for their firewalls, their endpoint security, their cloud security tools, often coming from acquisitions.
Right. Different code bases, different teams.
Yeah, exactly. It can be complex to integrate. Fortinet, however, runs virtually everything on FortiOS. This inherently facilitates seamless immigration and allows for consistent policy enforcement across all these different environments, whether it's your network edge, your cloud infrastructure, or your employee laptops.
And how does that connect to their big push into SaaS?
It's absolutely critical. This unified OS is a key enabler for their strategic push into the unified SaaS market, because SaaS is all about converging networking and security functions seamlessly, regardless of where the user or the application is. Having that single OS makes delivering a truly unified SaaS solution much, much easier from an engineering perspective, and arguably much simpler for the customer to manage.
So the security fabric powered by FortiOS isn't just firewalls. What else is in there?
Oh, it's a really comprehensive suite. It extends far beyond just the FortiGate firewalls. It includes things like endpoint security, FortiClient, robust intrusion prevention systems, IPS, their rapidly growing SASE offerings, FortiSA, sandboxing, FortiSandbox, web application firewalls, FortiWeb, and sophisticated AI-driven threat intelligence services delivered by their dedicated research team, FortiGuard Labs.
So they can cover a lot of organization security needs from one place.
That's the goal, breadth and integration.
And you mentioned this earlier, but this integrated approach built organically from the ground up gives them a notable historical advantage, doesn't it? Compared to competitors who've grown more through acquisition.
I think it does. Their early deliberate focus on building this integrated platform, all unified under FortiOS, contrasts pretty sharply with some major competitors like Palo Alto Networks, for example, who have often built out their broader platform through a series of significant, sometimes very large acquisitions.
Which isn't necessarily bad, but...
But it can lead to challenges. While acquisitions bring in new capabilities quickly, they often result in integration headaches, potentially multiple management consoles, different underlying technologies, and sometimes a less seamless user experience for customers, at least initially. Fortinet's organically developed, single OS architecture arguably offers a more unified, potentially more efficient, and maybe even more cost-effective solution for customers who are specifically looking to consolidate their security vendors and simplify their overall security posture. It's a different philosophy.
Okay, let's shift focus slightly to their core business segments. How do they actually make money? You mentioned a hybrid model.
Right. Fortinet operates on a clever hybrid model that combines upfront product sales, primarily those FortiGate appliances, with recurring service revenue from subscriptions. This creates this powerful combination of, you know, initial growth potential from new sales and then that long-term predictability and stability from ongoing service contracts. It's a model that investors tend to like a lot.
So looking at product revenue first. This is mainly the FortiGate hardware boxes, right? Across different sizes and capabilities.
Exactly. They have a wide range of models designed to suit different performance needs and budgets, from small branch offices needing a simple firewall right up to massive data centers requiring huge throughput. And the key advantage for Fortinet's hardware, as we discussed, is that proprietary ASIC technology.
Remind us again why that's important for the hardware sales.
Because those custom chips are specifically engineered to accelerate security and networking functions. So for the customer, that means exceptionally high performance, great throughput, better energy efficiency, and often a more competitive price point compared to competitors relying on more general-purpose CPUs for those tasks. It makes the hardware itself very compelling, especially on a performance-per-dollar basis.
And how much of their business does this product revenue represent?
For the fiscal year 2024, product revenue was $1.91 billion. That made up about 32% of their total revenue. So while it's still a very significant part of the business, it's actually not the largest piece anymore.
Which brings us to service revenue. This is the bigger, more stable part.
Indeed. Service revenue is the larger and arguably the more stable and predictable component of Fortinet's business. It generates those crucial recurring revenue streams through various subscription-based offerings. For FY 2024, service revenue was a substantial $4.05 billion.
Wow, much bigger.
Much bigger. It accounted for about 68% of their total revenue in that year. So you see the shift clearly there.
And what makes up that service revenue? What are people subscribing to?
It's broadly divided into two main categories. First, you have the FortiGuard security subscriptions. These provide things like real-time threat intelligence updates, antivirus signature updates, intrusion prevention rules, web filtering category updates, anti-spam services, basically all the dynamic content needed to keep those FortiGate appliances effective against the very latest threats. Without these, the box is much less useful.
So essential for ongoing protection.
Absolutely vital. Second, you have FortiCare technical support. This offers comprehensive technical assistance if something goes wrong, software updates for FortiOS and other features, and hardware maintenance or replacement options. It ensures reliability and longevity for their massive installed base of devices.
This brings us back perfectly to that important question we raised earlier. Why is product revenue considered such a critical leading indicator for the company's overall health, even though it's the smaller part now?
Right. It seems counterintuitive, but it's crucial. It's because those initial hardware sales, the FortiGate appliances, act as the primary catalyst, the engine, for generating those long-term, high-margin service contracts.
They're the entry point.
They're the entry point, exactly. Think of it as the land in a land and expand model. A significant portion of the service revenue that Fortinet recognizes in any given quarter actually comes from deferred revenue, which is essentially cash collected upfront for service contracts signed in prior periods, often when the hardware was initially sold.
No.
So if there's a slowdown in product sales today, it strongly signals a potential future deceleration in service revenue growth down the road, simply because there's a smaller base of new appliances being deployed to attach those lucrative, recurring service contracts to. It's like planting fewer seeds today inevitably means a smaller harvest tomorrow. That connection is fundamental to understanding Fortinet's business model and trajectory.
Got it. Okay, let's talk about their market positioning and customer base. Who are they selling to?
Well, Fortinet serves a remarkably wide spectrum of customers. It really spans from small and mid-sized businesses, the SMB market, all the way up to sprawling large global enterprises, major service providers like telcos, and even government entities worldwide. They have a very broad reach.
But they have a particular strength in the SMB segment, right?
They do. They've particularly carved out a dominant position in the SMB segment. That's where their core value proposition of high performance at a competitive price point really resonates strongly. For many smaller organizations, Fortinet is almost the default choice for robust enterprise-grade security that won't completely break the bank.
And this broad reach combined with that compelling value, especially in SMB, has allowed them to build that truly massive customer base we mentioned, over 800,000 customers globally.
Yeah, it's a huge number, significantly larger than some of their key competitors, like Palo Alto Networks, for instance.
And what's the strategic importance of having such a large installed base?
It provides an enormous fertile ground for upselling and cross-selling their newer platform solutions, particularly SaaS and CCOPS. Think of it as this powerful built-in customer acquisition funnel for future growth. They don't have to constantly find brand new customers or logos from scratch for these new services. They can leverage the trust and the footprint they already have with these 800,000 plus existing customers. It's a major competitive advantage.
Okay, let's shift focus now to the battlefield, as you called it earlier. The industry dynamics and the competitive landscape. First off, the cybersecurity market itself. Just how big is it and where is it headed?
It's simply enormous, relentlessly dynamic, and growing at an incredible pace. Market size estimates for 2024 generally fall somewhere between, say, $194 billion and maybe $246 billion, depending on exactly what you include.
That's already huge.
It is. And the projections for the future are even more impressive. Forecasts suggest the market could reach somewhere in the neighborhood of $500 billion to $560 billion by 2030 or 2032.
Wow.
That implies a compound annual growth rate, or EGR, of somewhere between, let's say, 13% and 14.5% for years to come. This kind of sustained, strong double-digit growth really underscores the powerful long-term tailwind supporting this entire industry. It's not a fad, it's a fundamental need.
What's driving that massive growth? What are those tailwinds?
Well, this robust and sustained growth is really propelled by several powerful interconnected drivers. Firstly, and most obviously, there's the escalating volume and sheer sophistication of cyber threats. We're talking about ransomware attacks that cripple hospitals and cities, advanced persistent threats, APTs, that steal sensitive corporate or national secrets, and increasingly sophisticated AI-powered phishing schemes that can trick even the most cautious employees.
It feels relentless.
It is. The FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center, the IC3, for example, reported a 10% year-over-year increase in complaints back in 2023. That just highlights the constant growing threat environment that forces organizations, big and small, to continually invest in better defenses just to keep up.
Okay, escalating threats. What else?
Secondly, we've seen this hugely accelerated digital transformation across basically every sector, partly fueled by the pandemic, but continuing beyond it. The widespread migration of applications and critical data to cloud environments, combined with the permanent shift for many to remote and hybrid work models, has effectively dissolved the traditional network perimeter.
Right, the old idea of a secure office network is gone.
It's largely gone. That old castle and moat security model is pretty much obsolete for many organizations. This massive expansion of the corporate attack surface absolutely necessitates modern security architectures like zero trust, verifying everything, not just trusting based on network location and SaaS to protect users and data no matter where they are or how they're accessing resources. It's a fundamental shift in how businesses operate and therefore how they must secure themselves.
Makes sense. What's the third driver?
Thirdly, there's the ongoing explosive proliferation of connected devices, the rapid growth of the Internet of Things, or IoT think smart sensors, connected cameras, even appliances, and also operational technology, or OT, in industrial settings, things like industrial control systems, PLCs. This introduces literally billions of new devices onto corporate networks and critical infrastructure.
And many of these aren't built with security in mind, are they?
Often not. Many of these devices, from cheap smart sensors to complex industrial controllers, have inadequate built-in security or are difficult to patch. This creates entirely new vectors for attack that traditional IT security wasn't designed for. So this drives demand for specialized security solutions that can discover, monitor, and protect these new, often vulnerable endpoints.
Okay, and the final major driver.
And finally, we have increasing regulatory and compliance mandates from governments worldwide. We're seeing stricter data privacy and security regulations being implemented everywhere, forcing organizations to invest significantly in advanced cybersecurity solutions just to ensure compliance and avoid potentially massive financial penalties and reputational damage.
Things like GDPR in Europe.
Exactly. Think about GDPR or California's CCPA and many others popping up globally. These regulations have real teeth, and non-compliance can be incredibly costly, both in fines and in loss of customer trust. This creates a strong baseline demand for robust security controls, regardless of the immediate threat level.
So beyond these big macro drivers, What are the key technology trends shaping the industry right now?
Well, the cybersecurity industry itself is characterized by this incredibly rapid technological change. It's a constant arms race, as we said, between the attackers and the defenders. A key trend shaping the market right now, and one we really need to pay close attention to, is artificial intelligence, AI, acting as a real double-edged sword.
How so?
Well, on one hand, attackers are quickly learning to leverage generative AI to create much more sophisticated and convincing phishing campaigns, to craft bespoke malware that evades traditional detection, and even to accelerate their attack timelines, making it harder for human analysts to spot and respond.
So AI making the bad guys better.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
But simultaneously, vendors like Fortinet are heavily investing in integrating AI into their platforms to fight back. They're using AI to improve threat detection accuracy, to automate responses to the flood of routine security alerts, and generally to reduce the burden on overstretched security teams. It's essentially fighting AI-powered attacks with AI-powered defenses.
Another major trend we hear a lot about is vendor consolidation and this idea of platformization. What's driving that?
Enterprises today are just overwhelmed. Many are managing dozens, sometimes hundreds, of disparate security tools from various vendors. It's incredibly complex. It often creates unintentional security gaps between the tools, and it drives up operational costs significantly.
Makes sense. Too many dashboards, too many alerts.
Exactly. So they're increasingly looking to consolidate their security spending with a smaller number of strategic vendors who can offer broad integrated platforms. This trend definitely favors the large-scale providers like Fortinet and also Palo Alto Networks, who can deliver a unified solution that promises to reduce that total cost of ownership, simplify day-to-day operations, and ultimately offer better overall security efficacy because the different components are designed to work together seamlessly.
And this leads directly to that architectural shift towards SaaS and cloud security you mentioned earlier.
It does. The decentralization of work and applications that we discussed, users everywhere, apps everywhere, is fundamentally driving the convergence of networking functions, like SD-WAN for optimizing connections, and security functions into that cloud-delivered model we call SaaS, Secure Access Service Edge.
So SaaS is becoming the standard way to secure this new reality.
It's rapidly becoming the go-to architecture for securing the modern distributed hybrid workforce. Concurrently, the need to secure cloud-native applications, those applications built directly in cloud environments like AWS or Azure, is fueling intense demand for specialized solutions like cloud security posture management, or CSPM, which checks for misconfigurations, and cloud-native application protection platforms, CNAPP, which protects the applications themselves as they run. Fortinet is active in both these areas, too.
Okay, let's dive into the competitive analysis now, because you said it's a crowded and dynamic field. Who are Fortinet's main rivals?
It really is a highly fragmented and intensely competitive market. It's definitely not a winner-take-all scenario, but rather a constant, fluid battle for market share and mind share.
Who's your most direct competitor, would you say?
Their most direct platform competitor is undoubtedly Palo Alto Networks, ticker PAN-W. Now, there's an interesting dynamic here. While Fortinet consistently leads in the sheer number of firewall units shipped globally.
Right, the volume leader.
The volume leader. Palo Alto Networks actually leads in terms of a firewall market revenue share.
How does that work?
It reflects PAN-W's strategic focus on higher-priced, feature-rich solutions that are primarily targeted at large, complex enterprises, often securing the very top tier of Fortune 500 companies who have bigger budgets and more complex needs. PAN-W is also aggressively pursuing its own platformization strategy, centered around its three main pillars: Strata for network security, Prisma for cloud security, and Cortex for security operations. So they're both vying for that integrated platform crown, but coming at it from slightly different angles and customer bases historically.
Okay, besides Palo Alto, who else is a major player?
Then you have the giant, Cisco Systems, CSCO. As the dominant player in enterprise networking equipment, Cisco leverages its massive installed base of routers and switches and its deep, long-standing customer relationships to cross-sell a broad portfolio of security products and services. Their strength really comes from that existing relationship and footprint on the networking side.
Makes sense. Anyone else in that traditional space?
And you also have Checkpoint Software, CHKP. They are one of the original pioneers in the firewall market, a very established player. They compete largely on their long track record, their reputation for stability, and strong security efficacy. They're often seen as a more mature, reliable choice. perhaps less aggressive on the platform expansion than Fortinet or PanW.
Okay, so those are the big platform and traditional competitors. What about newer cloud-focused players?
Right. Beyond these direct platform rivals, there are also highly successful cloud-native specialists who are fundamentally challenging the traditional appliance-based security models. Zscaler, ZS, for example, is a clear leader in the cloud-native security space. They specialize in Secure Web Gateway, SWG, and Zero Trust Network Access, ZTNA, which are absolutely core components of any SaaS framework. Their cloud-first architecture offers a compelling alternative, especially for companies looking to completely move away from managing on-premise hardware.
So a different approach to SaaS than Fortinet's more hybrid model.
Exactly. And then there's CrowdStrike, CRWD. They are a leader in modern endpoint security, things like endpoint detection and response, EDR, and the broader extended detection and response, XDR, and also very strong in cloud workload protection. Their cloud-native Falcon platform directly competes with Fortinet's endpoint security offerings, port clients, and parts of their SecOps portfolio, particularly gaining traction in that cloud-first enterprise space.
So if we connect all this back to the bigger picture, Fortinet's dominant position by unit volume versus its number two position by revenue really underscores its fundamental strategic differentiator, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. It highlights their core strategy, delivering high-performance security at a really compelling total cost of ownership.
Driven by those ASICs.
Driven directly by their investment in that proprietary ASIC technology, which offers that unique blend of efficiency and speed. This strategy has been incredibly effective in capturing the volume-driven SMB and mid-market segments where price performance is often paramount. And now they're increasingly using that foothold as a wedge to penetrate larger enterprise accounts, offering them an integrated, often more cost-effective alternative to potentially more expensive, sometimes acquisition-assembled, solutions from competitors.
Do we have any hard market share numbers to put this in context?
Yeah, according to recent data from IDC, looking at the second quarter of 2024, the market share for worldwide security appliances specifically, measured by revenue, was led by Palo Alto Networks at about 22.4%. Fortinet was closely behind at 19.2%.
So very close in their core hardware market.
Very close. Cisco held around 13.2%, and Check Point had about 7.9% in that specific segment. This data really solidifies Fortinet's position as a definite top-tier vendor in its core market, holding a substantial piece of the hardware pie, even if PanW edges them out slightly on revenue due to higher average selling prices.
Okay, let's quickly compare these companies across some key financial metrics. It helps paint the picture. We have Fortinet with a market cap around, say, $60.6 billion currently.
Right. Palo Alto Networks, significantly larger at about $118.1 billion.
Cisco, the real behemoth here, $271.3 billion market cap. Checkpoint, smaller at $21.4 billion.
And then the cloud natives, Zscaler around $43.4 billion, and CrowdStrike at $107.7 billion, almost as big as Palo Alto now.
Interesting. What about recent growth, last 12 months, revenue growth?
Okay, Fortinet's LTM revenue growth is around 14.5%, which is pretty solid and actually quite close to Palo Alto Networks at 13.9% recently.
So similar growth rates lately.
Yeah, interestingly, Checkpoint is showing slower growth around 6.3%, while Zscaler and CrowdStrike, as you'd expect from their cloud focus, are showing higher growth rates 25.5% and 25.9% respectively. That reflects their positioning in rapidly expanding pure cloud security markets.
Now, profitability. This is where Fortinet really shines, right? LTM non-GAAP operating margin.
It truly stands out. Fortinet's LTM non-GAAP operating margin, based on Q2 2025 results, was an impressive 33.1%.
Wow. Compare that to the others.
Palo Alto Networks was at 22.0%, CrowdStrike at 18.0%, Zscaler at 22.0%. Even Checkpoint, which is historically known for strong profitability, was higher at 41.0%, but remember, that comes with much slower top-line growth.
So Fortinet's combination of decent growth and very high margins is quite unique among its peers.
It really highlights their strong operational efficiency. They have demonstrated a remarkable ability to balance expansion with robust bottom line performance, which is not easy in this space.
And valuation. Let's look at forward PE ratio.
Okay, Fortinet is trading around 31.4 times forward earnings. That's significantly lower than Palo Alto Networks at 54.1x, and dramatically lower than CrowdStrike, way up at 121.7x, which clearly reflects their hypergrowth premium.
And lower growth Checkpoint.
Checkpoint is lower at 21.9x. Zscaler doesn't have a meaningful forward PE based on current consensus estimates in our data.
What about LTM EV to sales, another common metric?
Fortinet is around 9.7 times LTM EV sales. Again, lower than Palo Alto Networks at 13.2x, much lower than CrowdStrike at 25.5x, and lower than Zscaler at 16.1x. It's higher only than Check Point at 6.8x.
So the valuation seems to reflect a company that's growing solidly, is highly profitable, but perhaps isn't expected to maintain hypergrowth rates indefinitely. It's in transition.
Exactly. It's not priced like a hypergrowth stock anymore, but it's certainly not being valued like a mature, slow-growth company either. The market seems to be pricing in continued, but perhaps more moderate growth balanced by that strong profitability.
All right, let's really dive into the money now. Financial performance and analysis in more detail. You mentioned Fortinet has a long history of strong growth, but it's been moderating. Can you unpack that?
Sure. Fortinet has indeed a long and consistent history of delivering strong double-digit revenue growth. Their annual revenue scaled impressively from about $2.6 billion back in fiscal year 2020 to nearly $5.96 billion, to be precise, in fiscal year 2024. That's remarkable growth.
But the pace has slowed down.
But the pace has moderated, yes, especially compared to the highs seen during the peak pandemic-related spending. Year over year, total revenue growth decelerated from a very robust 32.2% in FY 2022, down to 20.1% in FY 2023, and then further 12.3% in FY 2024. So still growing, but clearly at a slower rate. We need to understand why.
And you mentioned a key trend underlying this moderation is the divergence between product and service revenue growth.
Exactly. That's critical. Product revenue, which, remember, historically drove much of the initial growth, has experienced a significant slowdown recently. After posting strong growth in prior years, product revenue actually decreased slightly by 1.0% in FY 2024, coming in at $1.91 billion.
And management called this demand digestion. What does that mean in simple terms?
Think of it like this. During the pandemic, with the massive shift to remote work, many companies went on a spending spree, upgrading their firewalls and network infrastructure. They bought a lot of hardware quickly. Now, in the period following that surge, they're essentially just using what they bought. They're digesting that previous investment rather than immediately needing more new boxes.
So a natural pause after a big meal, essentially.
That's a good analogy. A natural pause after a period of intense spending, and it was likely compounded by broader economic caution that made companies maybe a bit hesitant to shell out for big new IT hardware projects in 2023 and early 2024.
But the service revenue segment, that's a different story.
A very different story. Service revenue remains the undeniable engine of Fortinet's growth and stability. Service revenue grew by a strong 20% year over year in FY 2024, reaching $4.05 billion.
And it's now the majority of their business.
It is. It now constitutes approximately 68% of their total revenue, and that's up significantly from around 60% just back in FY 2022. This really highlights the increasing importance of the company's recurring revenue base. It's the predictable, high-margin part of the business that provides a solid foundation, even when hardware sales get a bit lumpy.
What about billings? You said that's a key forward indicator. How did that trend?
Right. Billings, which is a non-JAP metric measuring the total value of invoices sent out, covering both current revenue and future commitments, serves as an important indicator of future revenue trends. Billings also showed a sharp deceleration, growing just 2.1% in the full fiscal year 2024, reaching $6.53 billion.
Ouch. That sounds like it would worry investors.
It absolutely did. That slowdown in billings growth was a primary concern for investors and definitely contributed to the stock's underperformance during that period. However, and this is important, there are now very encouraging signs of re-acceleration.
Oh. What are those signs?
Performance in the first half of fiscal year 2025 has shown a marked improvement. Billings growth re-accelerated to 14% year over year in Q1 and then strengthened further to 15% year over year in Q2.
Okay, that's a significant turnaround.
It really is. It strongly suggests the company may finally be moving past the trough of that hardware refresh cycle digestion period and starting to see renewed demand, likely driven by their broader platform offerings, including SaaS and CCOPS gaining traction.
And what about deferred revenue? That's the money collected but not yet recognized as revenue, right?
Exactly. Deferred revenue, which primarily consists of those prepaid service contracts we talked about, continued to grow healthily. It increased by 10.9% year over year to reach $6.36 billion at the end of FY 2024.
It's a big number. What does it tell us?
It provides significant visibility into future service revenue streams. It's essentially revenue that's already been booked and paid for, just waiting to be recognized on the income statement over the life of the contracts. It's a great sign of future predictability and stability for that crucial service segment.
Okay, let's switch to profitability and margin trends. You said this is where Fortinet really excels.
They really do. Their profitability is truly exceptional and has been consistently expanding over time. This is a defining characteristic that sets Fortinet apart from many high-growth peers who are often still burning cash or operating at much lower margins.
What about gross margin?
Their gross margin is consistently very high. It improved significantly to 80.6% in FY 2024 on a GAAP basis. Management consistently guides for non-GAAP gross margins in the roughly 79% to 81% range.
What allows them to maintain such high gross margins?
It reflects strong pricing power in their core markets, but critically, it's driven by the high margin nature of their dominant service revenue segment. Software subscriptions and support typically carry much higher gross margins than hardware.
And operating margin, that reflects overall efficiency, right?
Yes, and their operating margin also showcases exceptional strength and operational efficiency. Fortinet achieved a record non-GAAP operating margin of 35.0% in FY 2024.
35%, that's huge for a tech company this size.
It's huge. That level of profitability is among the very best in the entire software and security industries. It really demonstrates a truly disciplined approach to managing operating expenses, sales and marketing, R&D, G&A, while still scaling the business effectively.
But looking ahead, management guided for slightly lower margins in FY 2025. Around 32% to 33.5% non-GAAP. Why the step down?
That's a key point. The guidance for FY 2025 reflects a planned increase in investments specifically aimed at fueling future growth. This raises that important question we touched on. Why would a highly profitable company consciously choose to lower its margins?
And the answer is,
it connects directly back to the intense competitive pressures in the market, especially in those strategic growth areas. They recognize the need to invest aggressively now in SaaS and SecOps, in sales capacity, in marketing, in R&D for new features to maintain their market leadership and capture future share in these critical expanding markets. It's a calculated trade-off, sacrificing a little bit of near-term margin for potentially much larger long-term strategic gains.
Investing for the future, basically.
Exactly. They are consciously choosing to reinvest some of that impressive profit back into the business to secure their long-term competitive advantage. And despite that planned investment, their underlying profitability remains incredibly strong. Non-GAAP net income has grown substantially, reaching $1.83 billion in FY 2024, up significantly from $1.29 billion in FY 2023. This isn't just revenue growth, it's highly profitable growth converting directly to solid earnings.
Finally, on the financials, let's talk about their balance sheet strength and cash flow generation. You described it as fortress-like.
I think that's fair. Fortinet maintains a remarkably strong balance sheet, underpinned by a powerful capacity for generating cash. They ended fiscal year 2024 with a very strong financial position, holding $4.07 billion in cash and short-term investments.
And that grew even more recently.
Yes. As of mid-2025, that cash and short-term investments figure stood even higher at $4.6 billion. Critically, this substantially exceeds their total debt. This provides them with enormous financial flexibility for strategic investments, for disciplined acquisitions like the ones they've made recently, and, as we'll discuss next, for returning capital to shareholders.
How much debt do they actually have?
In terms of debt, as of mid-2025, Fortinet carried only about $995.3 million in total debt. Its debt-to-equity ratio was a very healthy 48.3%. And importantly, that debt is easily covered many times over by their operating cash flow, indicating a very low level of financial risk. This is not a company burdened by leverage at all.
And cash flow generation.
They are an incredibly efficient cash flow generator. Cash flow from operations reached a strong $2.26 billion in FY 2024. And get this, the first quarter of fiscal 2025 actually saw a record cash flow from operations of $863 million in a single quarter. That really showcases the powerful, recurring, cash-generative nature of their subscription-based business model. This strong, consistent cash flow gives them significant strategic optionality. They can fund their growth, make acquisitions, and return cash without straining their finances.
Okay, so with all that financial firepower and a solid foundation,
right,
where to next for Fortinet? Let's dig into their growth opportunities and strategic initiatives. You mentioned a multi-pronged strategy.
Yes, their future growth strategy is built on a multi-pronged approach that cleverly leverages their established strengths, particularly in network security, to expand aggressively into adjacent high-growth market segments. They're really focusing on four primary pillars to drive their next phase of growth.
And the most significant one is the pivot to SaaS.
The most significant strategic initiative, and certainly the one management speaks about most frequently and puts the most emphasis on, is undoubtedly the pivot to unified SaaS.
Remind us quickly what SaaS architecture is all about.
Sure. SaaS, again, Secure Access Service Edge, fundamentally converges networking capabilities, primarily SD-WAN, for optimizing connectivity with a whole suite of cloud-delivered security services. These typically include things like Secure Web Gateway, SWG, for safe internet access, Cloud Access Security Broker, CASB, for securing cloud app usage, and Zero Trust Network Access, ZTNA, for secure remote access based on identity, not just network location. The goal is to provide secure and efficient access for the modern hybrid workforce wherever users are connecting from. It's basically the new backbone architecture for distributed enterprise security.
And management sees this as their primary growth engine. How's it performing so far?
They've clearly identified unified SaaS as the primary engine for future growth, and this strategy is already yielding pretty tangible results. As of the second quarter of 2025, their unified SaaS annual recurring revenue, or AR, reached a significant $1.15
billion. $1.15 billion AR already.
Already. And that was up a substantial 22% year over year. Billings specifically from their SaaS segment grew 21% in that same quarter and now constitute a significant 24%, almost a quarter of the company's total billings. This really demonstrates its rapidly growing contribution to the overall business mix. It's not just talk anymore. The numbers are starting to clearly reflect the strategic pivot.
What's Fortinet's key selling point, their differentiation in this crowded SaaS market?
Fortinet's core competitive differentiation argument in the SaaS market is its ability to deliver what they call a truly unified platform. The company emphasizes quite strongly that it believes it's the only major vendor to have organically developed all the core SaaS functionalities, the networking, SD-WAN, and the key security services on that single operating system, FortiOS, and importantly, deployable via a single software agent on the endpoint device.
And why is that unified aspect so important?
Because it contrasts sharply with many competitors who have often assembled their SaaS offerings through a series of acquisitions. While that can bring capabilities together on paper, it can unfortunately lead to integration challenges, multiple management consoles for the IT team to juggle, different policy engines, and potentially a more disjointed user experience. Fortinet's unified, organically built approach is designed to provide better security efficacy because the parts communicate better, significantly simplified management for IT teams, and ultimately a potential lower total cost of ownership for customers.
And industry analysts are recognizing this.
Yes. Their leadership position in the 2025 Gartner Magic Quadrant for single-vendor SaaS platforms helps validate this strategy and recognizes their architectural advantage in delivering a truly converged solution.
And you mentioned this feeds into a powerful land and expand model that's quite unique to Fortinet, leveraging their existing customers.
Absolutely. Their SaaS strategy is fundamentally built upon that massive installed base of over 700,000 active FortiGate customers worldwide. Think about the typical customer adoption path they envision. It often begins with deploying a FortiGate firewall at the edge. Then the customer might expand to include Fortinet's market-leading secure SD-WAN capabilities, which run on the same FortiGate box, to optimize their network performance. And from there, it becomes a very logical next step to evolve into a full FortiSaaS deployment, leveraging the same platform and OS to secure users and applications regardless of their location.
So the firewall becomes the gateway to SaaS.
Precisely. This provides a powerful, built-in customer acquisition funnel that many pure-play cloud-native SaaS specialists simply lack. Fortinet can leverage those existing trusted relationships and the hardware already deployed in the customer's environment. It's a significant advantage.
Okay, SaaS is pillar one. What's the second major growth pillar?
The second major growth pillar is aggressively expanding their security operations, or SecOps, portfolio. This is another huge area of need for organizations.
Why is demand surging for SecOps platforms?
Because enterprises today are grappling with an absolutely overwhelming volume of security alerts coming from all their different tools, often far too many for their human security teams to possibly investigate manually. Added to that, there's a severe, well-documented global shortage of skilled cybersecurity personnel. This combination creates a critical need for integrated and highly automated SecOps platforms that can help organizations detect threats faster, prioritize the real incidents, and automate the response actions. Fortinet is capitalizing heavily on this critical trend.
How's their SecOps business performing?
It's showing strong momentum. As of Q2 2025, its security operations ARR grew by an impressive 35% year-over-year, reaching $463 million. SecOps billings also grew a robust 31% in that quarter and now represent about 11% of total company billings. So smaller than SACs currently, but growing even faster.
What kind of solutions are included in their SecOps portfolio?
It's becoming a comprehensive range of integrated solutions. Key components include things like security information and event management, or SIEM, FortiSIEM, which aggregates and correlates security logs and data from across the environment. There's also security orchestration, automation and response, or SO, FortiSO, which helps automate incident response workflows. They also have endpoint detection and response, EDR, part of FortiClient and FortiTAR, for protecting individual devices against advanced threats. And increasingly, they're focused on continuous threat exposure management, or CTEM, which is a more proactive approach to continuously identifying and addressing vulnerabilities across the attack surface.
And they made a key acquisition here recently, right? Lacework.
Yes, that was a very strategic move. The acquisition of Lacework in mid-2024 for about $152 million significantly enhances Fortinet's capabilities in the absolutely critical area of data-driven cloud security, particularly around cloud-native application protection platforms, or CNAPP.
Why was acquiring CNAPP capabilities so important?
Because securing applications built and run in the cloud requires different techniques than traditional network or endpoint security. CNAPP integrates things like cloud security posture management, CSPM, cloud workload protection, CWPP, and other functions needed to secure the entire lifecycle of cloud-native applications. Acquiring Lacework helps Fortinet achieve much better feature parity in cloud security with key competitors like Palo Alto Networks, who acquired Prisma Cloud, making Fortinet's overall platform argument even more compelling, especially for those large enterprise consolidation deals where cloud security is non-negotiable.
Okay, SIEs and SecOps are the big two. What are the other growth areas?
Fortinet is also actively driving innovation and growth in two more specialized but still high-growth domains. First, artificial intelligence, and second, operational technology, or OT, security.
Let's talk AI first. How is Fortinet using AI?
Well, they emphasize that they've actually been investing heavily in AI and machine learning for over 15 years, long before the recent generative AI hype. They hold an extensive portfolio of over 500 issued and pending AI-related patents, so this isn't just a new marketing angle for them. AI is deeply woven throughout their security fabric.
Can you give some examples?
Sure. Key AI-driven offerings include things like Fortia AI Protect, which uses sophisticated machine learning models for advanced predictive threat detection that goes beyond simple signatures. And more recently, they've introduced Fortia AI Assist, which is a generative AI assistant designed to automate routine security tasks, help analysts investigate threats more quickly, and generally simplify security operations, making human analysts much more efficient.
Okay, and the other area was OT security. What's that about?
OT, or operational technology, security is about protecting industrial control systems, ICS, and critical infrastructure, think manufacturing plants, power grids, oil and gas facilities, water treatment plants. Fortinet is actually a recognized leader in this specific, specialized market.
Why is OT security different from regular IT security?
It's a very different world. OT environments have unique requirements. They often use specialized industrial protocols that IT security tools don't understand. The equipment might be very old and unpatchable, and uptime is absolutely critical. You can't just reboot a power plant controller. So security solutions need to be tailored. Fortinet offers a dedicated suite of OT-specific products, including ruggedized hardware designed for harsh industrial environments and specialized threat intelligence focused on threats targeting ICS.
Is this a significant market for them?
It is a significant and growing niche. They are experiencing billings growth of over 20% year-over-year in this crucial, historically underserved market. Securing critical infrastructure is becoming a major global priority, so it's a good place to be a leader.
And finally, while they're pivoting to these new areas, they're still benefiting from their core firewall business, right? Mm-hmm. Especially the refresh cycle.
Absolutely. While SASIN and SecOps are the future growth drivers, Fortinet continues to benefit significantly from its massive, established core firewall business. Management has consistently highlighted an ongoing firewall upgrade cycle. Customers are replacing older, perhaps pandemic era, or even earlier, hardware with newer, much more powerful FortiGate appliances. These new appliances can handle significantly higher encrypted traffic throughput and support the more advanced security features needed today.
Where are we in that refresh cycle?
As of mid-2025, the company estimated it was roughly 40% to 50% of the way through upgrading a major cohort of firewalls that are expected to be refreshed around the 2026 timeframe. This ongoing refresh should provide a continued tailwind for their product revenue over the next several quarters, helping to offset some of the earlier slowdown and providing a bridge as the newer growth areas scale.
And a key part of their overall growth strategy is winning more deals in large enterprises, right? Moving up market.
Yes, that's a crucial element. Increasing penetration within large enterprise accounts, moving beyond their traditional strength in the SMB and mid-market, is vital. And they're seeing significant success here recently. In the second quarter of 2025, for example, the total dollar value of deals worth over $1 million grew by an impressive 51% year over year.
Why are those large deals so important?
Because securing these large enterprise customers is absolutely crucial for driving bigger, multi-product platform deals that encompass the full breadth of the security fabric, CCs, SecOps, firewall, endpoint, cloud security, all integrated together, not just selling individual components. These are the large strategic whale deals that really move the financial needle and solidify their platform credentials.
Okay, now let's look at how they spend their money. Fortinet's capital allocation strategy. What are their priorities?
They employ a very disciplined and generally shareholder-friendly approach to capital allocation. It's focused primarily on three main priorities. First and foremost, perhaps, is investing deeply in organic growth, particularly through research and development, R&D. Second is pursuing strategic, typically smaller, tuck-in acquisitions that enhance their core platform capabilities. And third is returning capital to shareholders, historically through a very significant share repurchase program.
Let's talk about that share repurchase program. It's been quite large, hasn't it?
It really has. Fortinet has a long and consistent history of actively returning substantial capital to its shareholders via buybacks. Since the inception of its program several years ago, the company has returned a staggering total of $6.8 billion to shareholders through share repurchases.
Wow, $6.8 billion. What about recent?
Yeah. In fiscal year 2024 alone, Fortinet repurchased approximately 7.7 million shares of its common stock for a total cost of about $1.3 billion. And as of the end of April 2025, the company still had a healthy $1.6 billion remaining under its current share repurchase authorization, providing ample capacity for future buybacks if they chose to use it.
But here's where it gets really interesting, as we hinted earlier. Despite this history of aggressive repurchases, the company actually paused this activity in the first half of 2025.
That's right. They hit the brakes.
And this pause occurred even while their stock price had seen a significant decline from its highs and they still had that large authorization remaining. This seems significant. It raises a big question. Does this signal a strategic shift in their capital priorities? Are they deliberately moving more towards funding those aggressive growth initiatives in SaaS and SecOps instead of buying back stock?
I think it absolutely does signal that. When you see a highly profitable company like Fortinet sitting on a substantial cash reserve with a long history of robust buybacks, suddenly pause that activity, especially when the stock price is lower, it's often a form of strategic communication without explicit words.
What's the likely message?
The likely message is that management sees a more compelling, perhaps even urgent need to pour those resources back into the business right now, into R&D to accelerate innovation, into funding those strategic tuck-in acquisitions like Lacework and NextDLP that directly bolster their SaaS and SecOps offerings, and into expanding their sales and marketing footprint to capture share in these critical high-growth markets.
So growth investment taking precedence over buybacks for now.
It strongly implies they believe the long-term competitive imperative of seizing market share in these high-growth platform areas currently outweighs the more immediate, perhaps shorter-term, benefit of boosting earnings per share, EPS, through share repurchases. It's a very telling strategic move, indicating a strong, perhaps increased, commitment to funding their strategic pivot internally. And remember, historically, these share repurchases have been estimated to contribute significantly to their EPS growth, maybe around 35% over time. So pausing them is not a small decision financially.
Okay, let's touch on their acquisition strategy again. You called it tuck-in. What does that mean?
It means Fortinet generally avoids large, transformative, company-altering mergers and acquisitions. Instead, they pursue smaller deals that primarily bring in valuable technology, specific features, or key engineering talent that can be tightly and relatively quickly integrated into their unified FortiOS operating system and the broader security fabric platform.
So enhancing the core, not buying whole new pillars.
Exactly. This approach aligns perfectly with the company's strong emphasis on organic innovation and maintaining that unified architecture. They want to enhance and accelerate their existing roadmap, not fundamentally reinvent it through massive M&A.
And the recent examples fit this mold: Lacework and NextDLP.
Perfectly. Lacework, acquired in June 2024 for $152 million, is a data-driven cloud security company specializing in CNNPP, a key capability gap they needed to fill in their cloud security portfolio to compete better with PAN-W's Prisma Cloud. And NextDLP, acquired just recently in August 2024 for $105 million, provides cloud-based data loss prevention DLP solutions, which is a core component of a comprehensive SASE offering. Both acquisitions are directly tied to bolstering their strategic SASE and CCOPS growth pillars with specific technology.
Got it. And the final piece of capital allocation: research and development, R&D investment. How does Fortinet approach R&D?
Fortinet maintains a very strong commitment to organic innovation, which is clearly reflected in its consistent and growing investment in R&D. In absolute dollar terms, R&D spending has steadily increased over the years, rising from about $341 million back in FY 2020 to $717 million in FY 2024. So they are spending significantly more on innovation.
But how does that compare to peers as a percentage of revenue? Is it efficient?
That's where it gets interesting. As a percentage of revenue, Fortinet's R&D spending actually demonstrates the company's impressive operational leverage and efficiency. In FY 2024, R&D expenses were approximately 12.0% of revenue.
Only 12%. How does that compare to the industry?
It's notably lower than the reported cybersecurity industry average, which was cited as being around 24% back in 2022, according to some studies.
Wow, half the industry average, roughly. What does that imply?
It really highlights Fortinet's highly efficient and profitable operating model. For you as a listener trying to understand the company, this is a critical differentiator. It could suggest a few things. Perhaps Fortinet is extracting more innovation per dollar spent on R&D due to their focused engineering culture. Or perhaps their foundational, organically built, unified architecture inherently requires less ongoing R&D investment to maintain and enhance compared to competitors who might be constantly spending resources integrating disparate acquired technologies. Whatever the reason, it speaks to a level of operational discipline that allows them to innovate effectively while still maintaining those impressive industry-leading operating margins.
Okay, let's get a recent pulse check then. Let's look at Fortinet's recent quarterly performance and what management is saying about the outlook. How did they do in the first half of fiscal 2025?
Well, their performance in the first half of fiscal 2025 generally demonstrated that clear re-acceleration in key growth metrics we talked about, especially billings, and continued exceptional profitability. It was a good sign that they were likely emerging from that tougher digestion period of late 2023 and early 2024.
Can you give us the numbers for Q1 2025?
Sure. In the first quarter of 2025, the company delivered a strong quarter overall, actually beating analyst expectations on profitability. Key results included total revenue of $1.54 billion, which was up 14% year over year. Mm-hmm. Total billings came in at $1.6 billion, also up 14% year over year. That was the start of the reacceleration. And non-GAAP EPS was $0.58.
And profitability.
The quarter was particularly highlighted by a record first quarter non-GAAP operating margin of 34.2%, and they saw robust growth in those strategic areas. Unified SaaS ARR grew 26% year over year, and CCOPS ARR grew 30%. So strong execution across the board in Q1.
How did things look in Q2 2025? Did the momentum continue?
Yes. In the second quarter of 2025, Fortinet largely continued that positive momentum. They actually beat their own guidance on both billings and profitability, which is always a good sign. Key results included total revenue of $1.63 billion, up 14% year over year again. Total billings were $1.78 billion, showing a slight acceleration to 15% year-over-year growth, and non-GAAP EPS came in at $0.64.
Margin still strong.
Non-GAAP operating margin remained very robust at 33.1% for Q2. Growth in the strategic areas also continued nicely. Unified SaaS ARR was up 22% year-over-year, a slight deceleration, but still strong, while SecOps ARR accelerated further to 35% growth. And importantly, the company specifically noted significant traction with those large enterprise customers, with the total value of deals over $1 million growing by that impressive 51%. So the reacceleration seemed to be holding and the enterprise push was working.
But despite these strong results, particularly in Q2 beating guidance, the stock actually declined significantly after the announcement. Why would that happen?
Yeah, that reaction puzzled some observers. But if we try to connect it to the bigger picture and how markets operate, it suggests that investors, while acknowledging the good current results, were perhaps focusing even more intently on forward-looking indicators and potential future risks.
Like what specifically?
Like maybe the lingering potential impact of those slower product sales from the previous year eventually flowing through to moderate future service revenue growth, even if billings are reaccelerating now. Or maybe concerns about the sustainability of that SaaS growth rate, or just broader market nervousness. Even with strong current performance, the market is always trying to look several quarters ahead, and it might have been pricing in slightly slower growth in their high-margin service segment down the road, or simply taking profits after a run-up.
Okay, so what is management saying about the rest of the year? What's their guidance and commentary?
Fortinet's management has provided an outlook that generally reflects confidence in its strategic direction and the resilience of cybersecurity demand, while still appropriately acknowledging the uncertain macroeconomic environment that persists globally.
What are the specific numbers for the full year 2025 guidance as of their Q2 update?
As of their Q2 earnings report, they actually raised their full-year billings guidance slightly. They now expect billings for FY 2025 to be in the range of $7.325 billion to $7.475 billion. The midpoint of that range represents solid 13% year-over-year growth.
And revenue.
Full-year revenue guidance is now between $6.675 billion and $6.825 billion. They maintain their projection for the non-GAAP operating margin for the full year at that 32.0% to 33.5% range, reflecting those planned growth investments. And they guided for full-year non-GAAP EPS between $2.47 and $2.53. Overall, pretty solid guidance implying continued growth and strong profitability.
And what's the tone from leadership? Are they ambitious?
Definitely. CEO Ken Ji, in particular, has explicitly stated the company's ambitious goal to become the number one player globally in the SASE market, leveraging their integrated platform and their massive firewall leadership position. Management generally seems to see resilient demand for cybersecurity solutions continuing, driven by that escalating threat landscape. And they believe their continued focus on organic innovation and their customer-centric platform strategy will allow them to continue taking market share across their portfolio.
Have there been any key product announcements or partnerships recently that support this strategy?
Yes. Fortinet continues to innovate and expand its platform capabilities regularly. They recently expanded their FortiCloud central management platform with several new natively integrated services designed to broaden the security fabric. These include things like FortiIdentity for identity and access management, FortiDrive for secure cloud storage, and FortiConnect for secure communication services.
Making the platform broader.
Exactly. They also significantly enhanced their FortiRecon digital risk protection service, which monitors the external attack surface to better align with that emerging continuous threat exposure management, or CTEM, framework. CTEM is all about proactively and continuously identifying and addressing an organization's most critical cyber risks, rather than just reacting to threats.
And they've gotten some important industry recognition lately, too.
Yes, and that external validation is important, especially for enterprise adoption. In 2025, Fortinet was named a leader in the prestigious Gartner Magic Quadrant for single-vendor SaaS platforms, which is a huge win, recognizing their growing strength and completeness of vision in that critical strategic space. They were also named a leader again in the Gartner Magic Quadrant for enterprise wired and wireless LAN infrastructure, which speaks to the strength of their foundational networking capabilities that underpin parts of their SaaS offering. These are significant accolades in a highly competitive industry.
Okay, let's get to the bottom line for many listeners. What's the price tag? Let's talk valuation analysis. How should we think about Fortinet's valuation?
Fortinet's valuation really reflects its unique position in the market. It's a highly profitable company, unlike many high-growth tech names, but it's also actively transitioning its core growth drivers from a more mature market traditional firewalls towards these emerging higher growth segments like SaaS and SecOps.
So it's not purely a growth stock, not purely a value stock.
Exactly. Its valuation multiples, therefore, tend to sit somewhere in the middle ground. They're generally below those of the hyper-growth, often less profitable cybersecurity peers like CrowdStrike or maybe Zscaler, but typically above the multiples assigned to more mature, slower growing incumbents like Check Point or even parts of Cisco's security business. It's valued as a profitable grower undergoing a strategic shift.
Let's revisit those comparative multiples. The TTM PE ratio is around 31.4x for Fortinet.
Right. As of mid-August 2025, it was about 31.4x. And as we noted, that's substantially lower than the very high premium multiple assigned to Palo Alto Networks at 94.2x, which reflects PanW's slightly higher growth expectations historically and its stronger foothold in the highest end of the enterprise market. But Fortinet's multiple is still comfortably higher than the more value-oriented multiples of Check Point at 23.9x and the broader Cisco at 26.9x.
And the LTM price-to-sales ratio, Fortinet was at 9.66x.
Yes, around 9.7 LTM PS. Again, that's below Palo Alto Networks' forward PS estimate of around 10.6x and significantly below the very high-growth multiple of CrowdStrike at 25.8x. So again, you can clearly see Fortinet isn't being valued as a hypergrowth stock anymore, but it's certainly not being treated like a slow growth mature tech company either. It's priced for continued solid growth combined with that strong profitability.
How does this current valuation compare to Fortinet's own history? Has it gotten cheaper?
Oh, significantly. Fortinet's current valuation represents a very substantial compression compared to its historical levels, especially from the peak growth years. That current TTM PE ratio of around 31x is dramatically below its three-year historical average, which was closer to 44x. It's even further below its five-year average of about 55x, and its 10-year average was way up around 138x during periods of much faster growth.
So the market has definitely re-rated the stock lower. Why?
This significant derating clearly reflects the market's recalibration of expectations in response to the company's decelerating top-line revenue growth rate over the past year or two, as well as perhaps the broader market shift away from awarding extremely high multiples to companies not demonstrating sustained hypergrowth. The valuation acknowledges the transition they're in.
To put this valuation in context with broader market conditions, what's a risk environment like?
Well, to contextualize the required rate of return an investor might demand for Fortinet, it's useful to look at broader market indicators. The benchmark 10-year U.S. Treasury yield, often used as a baseline risk-free rate, is currently hovering in the range of, say, 4.25% to 4.32%.
Okay. What about the extra return demanded for equities?
Recent market analysis suggests that the overall equity risk premium, that's the excess return investors demand for the risk of holding equities compared to risk-free bonds, is actually near historical lows right now. This implies that the market as a whole currently seems to be offering less compensation for taking on equity risk than it has at many points in the past.
And Fortinet's own volatility, its beta.
Fortinet's five-year beta is approximately 1.08 to 1.12. A beta above 1 indicates that the stock has historically been slightly more volatile than the broader market average, like the S&P 500. So its price movements tend to amplify the movements of the overall market, both up and down, to a small degree.
So putting it all together, what's the central debate the current valuation reflects?
I think the current valuation of Fortinet really encapsulates the central debate surrounding the company's future. Investors are essentially being asked to pay a premium relative to more mature technology companies based on the potential for future growth reacceleration driven by the successful execution of those big SASE and SecOps strategies.
So it hinges on whether you believe the pivot.
Exactly. If these initiatives can successfully offset the inevitable maturation or slowdown in the core firewall market and return the company to a higher overall growth trajectory in the coming years, then the current valuation, while not cheap, may prove to be quite attractive in the long run.
But the risk is...
Conversely, if that growth continues to decelerate more than expected, or if the competitive landscape intensifies even further and pressures margins or growth rates, then the stock could potentially face further derating, moving closer towards the lower multiples of its slower growing peers. So, what does this all mean for you, the listener? It means the market is asking a really big question about Fortinet's future trajectory, and whether you find the current valuation appealing likely depends heavily on your confidence in their ability to successfully execute this major strategic pivot.
Okay, finally, let's make sure we mine the pitfalls. What are the key investment risks for Fortinet that people should be aware of? Let's start with market and competitive risks.
Right. First and foremost, the cybersecurity market is characterized by intense, relentless competition from that wide array of vendors we discussed, established giants, nimble cloud-native specialists, everyone in between. And the industry trend toward platformization is only escalating this competition, turning it into what some are calling a battle of the platforms,
well,
where vendors like Fortinet, Palo Alto, Cisco, and others compete fiercely on the breadth, integration, and innovation of their entire security portfolio.
And competition can lead to.
It could lead to increased pricing pressure, especially in more commoditized areas like traditional firewalls, which could negatively impact Fortinet's historically strong gross profits and operating margins, particularly if they feel forced to discount more aggressively to win deals or maintain share while also investing heavily.
What about broader economic risks?
As a provider of essential but still significant IT infrastructure, Fortinet is inherently exposed to broader macroeconomic cycles. A significant economic downturn could lead to reduced corporate IT budgets globally, potentially causing customers to delay projects, elongate sales cycles, and decrease overall demand for new security solutions, which would obviously impact Fortinet's top-line growth.
Okay, what about operational and execution risks? Things specific to how Fortinet runs its business.
A significant portion of Fortinet's revenue is still derived from selling physical hardware appliances. Because of this, the company remains susceptible to potential supply chain constraints. Shortages of key components like semiconductors, remember the disruptions during the pandemic, and also geopolitical risks that could disrupt its manufacturing partners, many of whom are concentrated in regions like Taiwan. Any significant disruption here could delay product shipments and negatively impact revenue recognition.
What about their sales model? You mentioned channel partners.
Yes. Fortinet relies very heavily on its vast global network of third-party channel partners, distributors, and resellers for the vast majority of its sales, especially outside the very largest enterprise accounts. Any disruption to this crucial channel ecosystem or an inability to effectively enable and incentivize these partners to sell the newer, more complex platform solutions like SASE and CCOPS beyond just firewalls represents a significant risk to achieving their ambitious growth targets. They need the channel to execute the land and expand strategy effectively.
And the key personnel risk again.
And as we mentioned earlier, the company's long-term vision, its unique engineering culture, and its strategic direction are heavily dependent on its founder leaders, Ken and Michael Shi. The potential loss of either executive or any significant shift in their day-to-day involvement could potentially create significant operational disruption and strategic uncertainty given their deep, long-standing influence on the company.
Moving to technology and product-related risks, what are the big ones there?
For any security company, perhaps the biggest risk is the discovery of a critical security vulnerability within its own products. If a flaw in FortiOS or a FortiGate appliance were exploited at scale, it could cause severe reputational damage, fundamentally erode customer trust, which is paramount in security, and potentially result in significant financial liability from lawsuits or incident response costs. The integrity and trustworthiness of their own products are absolutely critical.
And the risk of falling behind technologically.
Absolutely. The cybersecurity threat landscape evolves at an extremely rapid pace. New attack techniques emerge almost daily. Fortinet must continuously innovate its products and services just to keep pace with these new threats and also with major technological shifts, like the increasing use of AI by attackers or the accelerating move to cloud-native architectures. A failure to innovate effectively could render its solutions less effective over time and put them at a competitive disadvantage.
What about the risk that customers just don't fully buy into their platform vision?
That's a definite risk, too. The ultimate success of Fortinet's major strategic pivot is contingent on broad market acceptance and enthusiastic adoption of its unified SaaS and integrated SecOps platforms. If customers, particularly large enterprises, decide they still prefer best-of-breed point solutions from various niche players for different security functions, or if competitors' integrated platforms gain significantly more traction due to perceived technical superiority or better marketing, then Fortinet's primary growth initiatives could falter, impacting their long-term growth trajectory. Platform adoption isn't guaranteed.
Finally, what about financial and macroeconomic risks beyond the cycle sensitivity?
Well, partly due to their reliance on those channel partners and the timing of large enterprise deals, Fortinet's quarterly financial results can sometimes be unpredictable and may fluctuate significantly. They've historically seen a concentration of business activity in the final weeks or even days of a quarter, sometimes called the hockey stick effect. This can make accurately predicting short-term performance quite challenging for analysts and investors.
Any currency risks?
Yes, with a significant majority of its revenue generated outside of the United States, Fortinet's reported financial results are also exposed to potentially adverse fluctuations in foreign currency exchange rates. A strengthening U.S. dollar, for example, can negatively impact reported revenue and profitability when international sales are translated back into dollars.
And just to reiterate, the core financial risks.
Lastly, and it's worth repeating, the company has experienced a clear deceleration in its overall revenue and billings growth rates compared to previous years. While there are now encouraging signs of reacceleration, future growth is certainly not guaranteed and may continue to slow or be lumpy depending on execution and market conditions. Furthermore, management has explicitly indicated that those increased investments in growth initiatives, while strategically necessary, may lead to a reduction in the company's historically high operating margins, at least in the short term. That trade-off between growth investment and margin profile is a key factor for investors to monitor very closely going forward.
Wow, okay. We have really peeled back the layers on Fortinet today. We've explored their founder-led vision, that innovative security fabric powered by the unified FortiOS, and the really ambitious company-defining pivot into these high-growth areas like SASE and SecOps.
Yeah, we covered a lot. We've seen the remarkable financial strength, especially at profitability and cash generation, but we've also highlighted the critical challenges they face. Operating in a hyper-competitive market, the crucial need to reignite sustainable product revenue growth to fuel the service engine, and the strategic balancing act involved in maintaining profitability while investing aggressively for the future.
You know, Fortinet's journey from being the king of firewall unit volume to striving for leadership in platform-centric security, it really feels like a microcosm of the entire cybersecurity industry's evolution over the past decade or two.
It absolutely is. As cyber threats become exponentially more sophisticated, partly thanks to AI, and as that traditional digital perimeter continues to dissolve with cloud and remote work, it really makes you consider. What does it truly mean for any company to deliver genuinely unified security in a world that feels increasingly fragmented and complex?
That's a great question. And maybe the final provocative thought for our listeners is this: how will Fortinet's unique, organically developed single OS approach ultimately stack up against rivals whose platforms have largely been built by acquiring and integrating other companies?
Yeah.
Will that unified foundation prove to be a durable competitive advantage in the long run?
The answer to that question could very well define the next decade of cybersecurity leadership and determine whether Fortinet achieves its ambition of moving from a dominant niche player to a true end-to-end security platform giant. It will be fascinating to watch.